Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting an update from Capella Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol CMIL, and now also trading on the OTCQB under the symbol CMILF. That OTCQB listing was just announced near the tail end of March, March 22nd. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Eric Roth. Now, we're going to be talking about a new acquisition of an advanced stage copper, zinc, cobalt project in central Norway. The project's name is Heselgruven. It's in central Norway, about 20 kilometers southwest of the company's 100% owned Sjoli project. This is a bit more advanced stage. We'll get into the non-compliant 43-101 resource, but first and foremost, Eric, please give us a little insights in terms of how this deal came together to now continue to grow the portfolio of projects in Norway.
Yeah, hi, Corey. Thanks for the introduction, and a big hello to your listeners as well, too. So, it's an interesting story behind the acquisition here, Corey. So basically, as you and your listeners would know, we've been very active at the Sjoli project for the last year and a half. Now, basically what came of that is that the community's been very, very happy with the work we've done. And certainly the municipality, you know, is very keen to see, well, mining development in the district. So basically, as part of that process, they suggested we take a look at this project, which is, you got the pronunciation right, so well done, the Heselgruven. Now, it is basically a project that's been idle since the 1970s. So basically, what happened in Norway is that pretty well all the mining projects shut down in the mid-80s, and that was really because of two things. One is, I mean, obviously copper prices tanked in the mid-80s, but also with the discovery of oil. So this is a project that was idle since effectively the end of the 70s, early 80s. And the municipality, basically the community, said, hey, we've got this other project just down the road. You guys are the only people active in the whole area. We love what you're doing. We're really positive about what you're doing and the things that we're not only doing for the community, but also on our project. And they said, you guys have to take a look at this. And that's really how the deal came about. So it was a fantastic opportunity, basically, because we were on the ground, everybody's happy with what we're doing. And so they said, you really must come and have a look at this. And that's how it really came about.
What are the deal terms here? Can you take us through? I know that there's a couple stages here, plus an NSR. So take us through what it's costing the company to acquire this project.
Yeah, so that's the good thing, Corey, is that the deal is a fairly soft deal for us in the sense of during the term, before we complete a feasibility study on the project, I mean, the terms of the agreement are essentially that we pay our own exploration expenditures on the project, which is what we would do anyway, even if we'd stake the ground. Now, upon completion of a positive bankable feasibility study, there is a one-off payment to the company that sold us the asset. And then, of course, on production, as you mentioned, there is that 2.5% NSR. So the good thing about the deal, and I should mention too that 0.5% of that can also be purchased back. So the good thing from our perspective and for Capella shareholders, obviously, and for, you know, is that we basically, the money goes into the ground. There's no big cash payments or anything like that on the way before we get to the end of the feasibility study. So it's just essentially it's money in the ground, which is really what we're always looking for.
Now take us through this historic resource. Again, not 43-101 compliant, but I understand there is this resource that is made up of little over 12,000 meters of historical drilling. What does that non-compliant resource stand at?
Yeah, so the current resource, just on the basis of the drilling, is about 3 million tons. It's 1.7% copper, 1.4% zinc. But one of the things that there's a couple of standout points here is that one is that, in the time they did the assaying, they didn't assay for cobalt. And some of the check assays that we've done have come up with some quite significant cobalt numbers. But the other thing, too, is that there's scope to grow this. There's scope to look at just the higher grade parts of it. And in fact, in the press release, we looked at one section, which is completely open. And it had the best drill intercept on the property, which is about 14.5 meters at almost 4.8% copper equivalent. So there's some really nice grades in there. And I think if we can be a little bit more, selective about how we look at this, you can actually make a very, very high grade resource out of this. But I guess at the end of the day, and as you mentioned, this is drilling done until the end of the 70s. And as I mentioned at the beginning, the project's really been idle since then. It's just been sitting there waiting for someone to come along and pick it up. And of course, the attractive thing for us is that it does help with that district scale mining center play, which we have set up with Sholey, of course. The idea here being that, putting these projects together, we've always said to the market that we're looking for 10 million tons plus or minus in this district, and this certainly gets us well on the way to reaching that goal. Having said that, because these high-grade massive sulfide deposits they generally generate good cash flow because of the grade, we've obviously, smaller deposits could also be kicked off here as well too. So I think it's a really great addition to the portfolio, relatively low cost to Capella shareholders. And at the end of the day, it really does add a nice tangible asset. Not saying that exploration projects don't have tangible values, but at least here you can say, well, there's actually a resource here, and we can sort of, you can wrap some numbers around that.
Yeah, there is a defined starting point here of an asset in the ground. Again, not 43-101 compliant, but that takes me to my next question. What work is going to be done here? What's the process of getting on the ground, and what are your goals for moving this project forward?
Yeah, so the very first goal that we have, Corey, is precisely to turn it into a 43-101 compliant resource. So that's the very first thing that we will do. And then part of that process, of course, when you have that independent, qualified person reviewing the data, they will also make suggestions as to where we should do infill drilling to improve the category of resources. They will also make suggestions in terms of where we should drill to, potentially grow the resource. So the very first step for us will be to turn it into a 43-101 compliant resource. Then on the back of that, obviously, as we go down the track, we will continue to look at more sort of development type things, pushing it along the path to a preliminary economic assessment, which means, of course, then doing extra drilling. We would also, of course, do some of the metallurgical test work and all of those good things that you need to do to start thinking about those scoping level mining studies. Now, and one thing that I will also add to is that one thing we have, the topography actually in the project favors the development of an adit into the project. So that means sort of an access into the mineralization from a valley wall, if you like. So that's one of the things we'll consider too as part of that, because one of the potential options here going forward is to be able to drill the deeper parts of the system, but from underground. So, and of course, also get a good look at the mineralization underground as well too. So, but the first step, of course, is the 43-101 compliant resource. Then we'll start looking at all of these other things that we need to do, some extra drilling, and then start to push it along the path to a scoping level mining study.
There any significance on this proximity of this new project to the Sholey project that we have talked about now for the last little while?
Yeah, so it's part of the same system. So if you actually, at Sholey, as your listeners know, we do have about 20 kilometers of strike of this massive sulfide belt, if you like, this copper-rich belt. This is actually the extension of it to the southwest. So what it's saying is that it's giving us the scale or extra scale to make a really nice, potentially in the future, the idea would be to put these together. You've got the potential here to build a significant mining center. So really that's the attractiveness for us, is that it does, as I mentioned, it does give us those 3 million tons, good potential to still grow. And then of course, with Sholey next door, we've got the possibility of adding some more to that. So the real attraction for us is to be able to set up this district scale property, which, we're looking to get the tons up and into resource status.
Okay, Eric, not much more to cover here. Thank you for this update on this new acquisition. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding this project or any of the other projects in the company's portfolio, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I do understand that there will be still some news coming out of some of the other projects, which we will cover when that news is released, but really did just want to focus on this new acquisition, growing the company's project portfolio in Norway. Eric, thank you for your time. Please keep me up to date on future news.
Thanks, Corey.